Got about another minute for our last minute sign up. Morning, Jeannie.
Nobody today. Yeah, she did.
You never know who's going to show up or who isn't.
I know my niece was supposed she oh, I'm all right. She don't pencil.
Okay, guys. I think we're all here. Oh, thanks, Margo. I forgot about that. Okay. I'm going to put everybody on mute here, and if you need to say something, ask something, just unmute yourself. Okay. So let's take a couple minutes just to kind of ground and center ourselves, and get a sense of our connection with one another. In recovery programs, they call it making conscious contact. Becoming aware of the presence of God, the presence of light, presence of truth, presence of joy, presence of peace, presence of unconditional love. And when we open ourselves to those energies, we realize that we're not alone. We never have been. We realize we're connected with all beings, and especially those who are yearning and striving for the same sort of enlightenment, if we can call it that, that is available to all of us. So as we begin this morning, I'd encourage you just to sort of breathe that into your being. Let yourself absorb that energy like a sponge. And when you're ready to, you can stretch, take a deep breath, open your eyes if they were closed. And as usual, I would like to express my gratitude for being here on Sunday morning, for letting me do whatever it is that I do up here, and letting you do whatever you need to do to learn, to stretch, to grow. And it's always interesting to see what evolves on Sunday morning. Never quite know. So I'm going to begin on page 270, pretty close to the top. To anoint something in God is to perceive it in its worth, regardless of what it presents, of what it looks like. Will shift you to an awareness of the divine in all things. Looking around the room, looking around your home, looking around the space you live in, knowing that everything is blessed. And as I perceive it as being blessed, I perceive myself as being blessed. When I perceive myself as being blessed, I perceive all things as being blessed. You can't leave anyone or anything out of the equation. It just doesn't work. When you curse something, you cast it out. And what you put outside the light, you attach to. That sounds a little bit strange. If I push something out of the light, I'm attached to my anger. I'm attached to my outrage. I'm attached to my judgment. When there is no attachment, there is freedom. There's unconditional love. The teaching you are getting is to clarify your relations to all you see before you, all and each one. Yes. Everyone and everything. As we talked about last week, nothing can exist without the presence of God being part of it. Nothing can exist without the presence of unconditional love to be a part of it. So no matter what it appears to be, that's why I often say my prayer so often is, Lord, that I may see. Let me see myself the way you see me. Let me see other people the way you see them. Because sometimes I'm not. I'm lost in judgment, fear, anger, revenge, any form of negativity. Now, the dominion you hold in your responsibility will be kept forward by your intention to perceive in alignment with the Christ, to see with the eyes of the Christ. I'm going to begin my sermon later on this morning with a quote from Mother Teresa. She was asked one time, what is your purpose in life? And she said, to see the Christ in all his distressing disguises. It's a lot of distressing disguises out there. Could have had me fooled.
Jerry.
Yes, John.
Jerry. So I like to listen to Father Mike Schmidt's sermons on Sunday morning before I come here. This morning, his sermon was on look like Jesus. He said, I don't mean dress like him, wear a beard like him, nothing like that. He says, but look through your eyes and see the way Jesus saw others. He was willing to do whatever it took to save people.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Thank you. That comes up quite often in the Gospels, about Jesus seeing what we might call seeing through the mask, seeing through the ego, seeing through the personality concept, and knowing that's not who you are. You might be stuck with identifying that. That's why you're so pissed off at the scribes and Pharisees all the time. One, that they were bad, but they were so stuck in seeing themselves as being the givers and the keepers of the law, that was their identity. He said, no, that's not who you are. You're more than that. You're a child of God. Now, the dominion you hold in your responsibility will be kept forward by your intention to perceive in alignment with Christ. What this means is, when your eyes are forward, when they see what is before them, they illumine the path. The divine as you will do this with you and as you, and as you give praise and bless what you see. I know I've often reflected on this one of Jack Poole's favorite lines from the movie Avatar was one of these beings was talking to another one and said, I see you. Not that I see your body, not that I see your color, not that I see your shape. I see you for who you are. I see through all the masks. I see you. So my prayer this morning too is whatever shows up in life for me today, whatever disguise it might be wearing, can I choose to bless it? Can I choose to see beyond the mask, see beyond the illusion? Now here's the other question Paul has. It's a very important one for some of you. We are taught to claim the word through what we see before us. I am word through this situation, word, I am word. Is that still a true teaching? It's a very true teaching and it's a blessing. However, we use the term blessing, we are actually teaching the mind to comprehend the life that can be lived as the Christ itself, higher consciousness, to live in that state of awareness all the time. To claim I am the word, this thing I see before me, brings to bear the action of the Creator upon this thing that you witness. In other words, it's not just words, not just a passive event. I see the Christ in you. If I truly see the Christ in you, that opens the door for you to truly see the Christ inside yourself. It goes beyond words, it goes beyond intellect, it goes beyond explanation, but it's truth. When I see you in high vibration, I allow you to raise your vibrational level to a higher level as well. That's why we are asked, we are encouraged, excuse me, to bless everyone and everything. Not only does that help me, but it changes everyone and everything. Nothing is wasted. Everything in the universe is touched by your act of love. It cannot not be, no matter how seemingly insignificant that might be. The consciousness, however, is not implied. You do not understand that what you are blessing is by claiming I am the word as the right to be there. In other words, we're going beyond words. I bless you. I honor you. I honor your truth. When you bless something, it is acknowledged in a very different way. You're attending to it as a shepherd, and that is a word we use intentionally. You become a shepherd, you see, and the shepherd who sees his flock in love lifts the flock. It's not just a job to take care of them. The message of Jesus, why he called himself the Good Shepherd, was because I see you, and by seeing you for the truth of who you are, I raise the vibration of the truth of who you are. What did he say? If the Son of Man be raised up, I shall draw all things to myself. Just a look, touch. That wonderful miracle that he worked when the woman who had suffering from the hemorrhage said, if I just reach up and touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. And she did. And then a very funny thing happened. Jesus looked around and said, who touched me? Because there was a big crowd around him right now. He was going to work another miracle of raising the daughter of Jairus from state of dead. Who touched me? And Peter, wise ass Peter, says, what are you talking about? Who touched you? Everybody touched you. People are bumping into you. There's a crowd around you. Who touched you? What are you, nuts? And he said, no. He said, I felt power going out of me. I felt something different. And this poor little woman, who had just been healed, sort of hesitatingly raised her hand, said it was me. Did not ignore that, but held her just for a moment, that one moment, held her in complete love and unconditional love. I love you. You are healed. You are whole. Your faith has made you whole. far beyond words, far beyond the intellect, far beyond what my mind or my emotions might say. Who sees his flock in love and lifts the flock. Now, this does not mean you become leaders, that you start a school, that you have people following you. That is not all the case. But it does mean that as you lead on your path, you are incarnated as the shepherd, the one who calls forth and shows the way to those who will follow in their own way. Just as we follow some, others follow us. In the Buddhist tradition, there's a being sometimes referred to as the Bodhisattva. The Bodhisattva is an enlightened being that has already passed all the tests on earth consciousness, has already graduated from earthly consciousness, but decides to reincarnate, to go back into earthly consciousness, to have a body again, so I can help those who are still struggling. I don't have to do this. I am doing this as an act of love. What would it be like to imagine that you incarnated on planet Earth also as an act of love? Not just came here as having a whole bunch of lessons to learn, which we do, but also decided that I am going to incarnate here on planet Earth at this particular time, in this particular space, right? As an act of love and an act of redemption for those around. Just as others have done that for me. So for instance, this is maybe a stretch of a metaphor, but let's suppose you have an organization like Alcoholics Anonymous or Al-Anon. Primary purpose of those groups is to aid those who are still suffering. Nobody even says that in the traditions. What would it be like to realize that? One of the reasons why I'm here is to lift the vibration of those who cannot lift it for themselves yet. And that's not a judgment, that's a realization. I mean, how many times have we been lifted up and we couldn't lift ourselves up? Seemingly by ways that we did not quite understand, at least I didn't. So I'm flipping the narrative here for a moment. Yes, it's all about you learning and growing and stretching. But it's also about you taking care of yourself in the most loving way possible. And by doing so, allowing yourself, allowing others to be able to raise up as well. We might not be able to see that. We might not be able to feel that. But we can still know that as being the truth. Now, there is no one here who attends to these words who isn't struggling themselves. Me too. Oh no, what does this mean? I have to be this thing in this way, in the way that they say? You know, here's me buying into a teaching that somebody says I should be doing out of fear or out of lack. It's not it. In fact, that is not the case. What you be is what you are. You can't change that. You can't make yourself move any faster on the spiritual path than you're moving already. What you be is what you are. And what you be is the expression of the divine. You can't not be an expression of the divine. But we have to realize, we have to make that conscious in order for that to become real. So before I walk in Kroger's at the grocery store, I get my card out of, pull it out of somebody's parking space, either wheel it to the place where it's supposed to be or I wheel it into Kroger's, say to myself, I choose to see everyone I meet this morning as a being of light. And I might be the only light that they see this morning. So instead of worrying about if they have enough soup, can I be a being of light? Just for that moment. I'll forget about 5 minutes later, but I can do it for that time. By example, you can say you lead, but more importantly, by your field, by your vibration that you hold. I'm not just shopping for groceries. I am a bringer of light. Raises my vibration, raises everybody else's as well. There is a level of dialogue, of touch, of exchange that goes far beyond the spoken word or the hand or the skin. There is an exchange of vibration and occurrence in all matter. And every thought you have, high and low and in between, actually has impact. Every thought you have, high, low, and in between, affects all of creation. So I find somebody in my life I can't stand. There might be a few of those. I'm not able to see through their disguise yet. And I say to myself, would I really consciously choose to send that energy to my grandkids? Because that's what's happening. My hatred, my anger, my vengeance, my outrage, whatever it is that I'm holding on to, which is, we said a moment ago, I become attached to, not only affects me, but affects all of creation. Would I in any way, shape, or form choose to send that to one of my grandkids? No, I wouldn't even think about it. But this is saying that's what you're doing by holding on to negativity. You're not just sending it to yourself. You're not just sending it to the person you can't stand. You're sending that to all beings, including those you love. Do you really want to do that? So I have this thought in my mind. Do you really want to send that out? Do I really want to affect people that way? I remember one time, this is years ago, Margot and I were driving in Wisconsin, and we only had one grandchild that particular time, Michaela, who was in the kid's seat in the back. And I get very uptight when I'm driving in a place I'm not familiar with. First of all, I need to do it perfectly. I should know my way around, even though I don't, even though I've been there. It's only the first time I've been. So anyway, I'm uptight driving through Appleton, Wisconsin. And somebody did something. Either they cut me off, came a little bit too close, or whatever might happen to me. And I felt myself immediately wanting to respond in the normal way that I would respond, of cussing them out a little bit, yelling, screaming, pounding the steering wheel, beep, beep, beeping the horn, whatever it might happen to be. And I stopped. And a little voice in my head said, "Do you really want your granddaughter to see you that way?" No. And a number of things happened in that moment. First of all, I recognized I had a choice. Secondly, I realized on some level that my vibration in that anger, in that uptightness, was pretty much low energy and low vibration. And I didn't want to send that to my granddaughter either. I had a choice. And I had a choice of what I was going to do with my energy. And I had a choice of changing that energy if I decided to do so. That was a real moment of awakening. I've forgotten it sometimes. It was a real moment of awakening. At the level of alignment we are teaching you, the impact of thought becomes very quick. And you are obligated at a certain level to begin to monitor the thoughts you hold, because they call forth the things that are necessary to be in accord with them. So when I'm aligned to my anger, what does that look like? What does that feel like? What am I creating by being aligned to my anger? What am I creating by being aligned to my outrage? Do I really want to do that? Is that really who I am? Do I really want to see myself that way? Do I want to let anybody else see me that way? The thoughts you hold, because they call forth the things that are necessary to be in accord with them. Now, this frightens Paul. He says, so if I wish somebody harm because I'm in a bad mood, I call that to myself? What are you really saying? Yes, that is what we are really saying. You are calling that to yourself. And it has always been so. What you wish upon another, you claim to yourself. This is just a restating of this metaphysical principle that we've run into many, many times before. If I see it out there, it's happening in here. Yes, that's what we are saying. And it has always been so. When you wish upon another, you claim to yourself. That is the law of karma. Like attracts like is a way to understand that what you call into being, you are claiming for yourself. And if you hold the thought of something, you are claiming it. You are the one who is choosing. Now, on an initiate path, on a path that we are on, a spiritual path we are on for growth, for surrender, you have to encounter things. In other words, you will come across challenges that will say, do you really want to hold on to me? Do you really want to think this way? And we said stage two on the journey up the mountain was the facing of the true self, the divine self, who holds you, who teaches you, who shepherds you up the mountain as you align to her and become the shepherd that she is. When you teach yourself at this level of vibration, in fact, what is happening is a kind of alchemy, a transformational change, turning fear into love. Perfect example of alchemy, spiritual alchemy, is the St. Francis prayer. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Let my hatred be transformed into lovingness. And believing that that can be done. Here's my hatred, here's my anger, here's my fear, here's my outrage. Allow that to be transformed. Don't do that with my head. I don't even do that with my heart. That's the Christ consciousness that's far beyond my own understanding. I give it to you to transform it because I can't do that by myself. When you teach yourself at this level of vibration, in fact, what is happening is a kind of alchemy, a kind of training where you call forth what you need to grow through to be in alignment with it. The frequency you hold is what is doing the work. So we've used this example any number of times. I've heard it used in recovery circles quite often too. Is if you're praying for patience, guess what happens?
Challenge.
Situations arise in your life, right? That allow you to practice patience or not. In fact, we are creating those situations. So if I choose to align myself to unconditional love, it doesn't mean all of a sudden I go into la la land and I become this enlightened being. My halo shines, my aura shines out, my heart's open, and everything's fine, wonderful. What it does mean is that conditions and aspects and ideas and situations are going to arise that challenge me in the process of unconditional love. It's going to say, okay, you're here to be unconditionally loving. What about this one? Okay, what about this one? How about this one? And to realize that's not something God is doing to us. Something God is doing to me or doing to you. It's actually we opened ourselves to create those circumstances because that's what we've been praying for that we want to learn. But a gift just doesn't fall in your lap. It's there, but yeah, it has to be taken in, has to be unwrapped, has to be made a part of you. And that doesn't happen all at once. I wish it did, but it doesn't. Now, we will tell you this because he is interrupting and asking this question. Do we need to be frightened of our thoughts? What a ridiculous idea. Your thoughts are your purview, the the way you see things. There is nothing to be frightened of in your thoughts, but there is an accountability at a certain level to know that your vibration is inclusive of the thoughts that you hold. In other words, the thoughts we hold create the vibration that we sit ourselves in. I am capable, I'm not sure whether everybody else is capable of this or not, I am capable of the worst thoughts possible. Shooting somebody, killing a truckload of babies, you know, you name it, it can come across my mind. I'm not too proud of that, but there it is. Now I have a choice. Do I choose to hold on to that thought? Even by judging myself or having it, I choose to say, you know, that's ridiculous. That's not who I am. I choose to be loving. I choose to be gentle. I choose to be open. I choose to be more conscious being at this particular moment. So I have a choice of the thoughts, especially the thoughts that I hold on to. That's where my choice is. My choice is, in effect, isn't necessarily the thoughts that are flying through my mind, because the thoughts that are flying through my mind are just thoughts that are flying through my mind. What gives them energy is my holding on to them, whether that's anger, fear, joy, happiness, love, unconditional love, or whatever it might happen to be. The energy comes from the thoughts that I hold to, that I hold on to, that I own myself, that I align myself to. There's nothing to be frightened of in your thoughts, but there is an accountability at a certain level to know that your vibration is inclusive of the thoughts that you hold. Now, if somebody steps on your foot and you say, "That jerk, I hope he gets it back," you're calling that to you in a way. But it's not the end of the world. Nobody's going to come up necessarily and stomp on your foot. You're simply acknowledging in low agreement the event that occurred and claiming it or damning it, if you wish, in your way. Has this ever happened to you that, I don't know why I'm fixated on driving, maybe because I need to learn something more about that. But you're driving along and somebody does something stupid. Goes too fast, goes too close, goes too slow, whatever it might happen to be. You find yourself getting annoyed or angry, and you kind of let it go for a while. And then 2 minutes later, you find yourself doing the same thing. Oops. Now, praise and damning are very different intentions. There has been a teaching to turn the other cheek, and we have explained that in previous texts, not about being a doormat. But we will support you now in what it means to rise above any situation that could present itself. If you can imagine above you is a trapeze, and there is a man on the trapeze with his hands lowered, waiting to lift you and bring you up to a higher level, you can imagine that the higher self, or the Christ itself, is available in any situation to support you in this manner. Lord, that I may see, let me see this as for the truth that it is. So the possibility of being raised up is always there. And you're not doing that by your own power. What you are doing by your own power is lifting your hands and saying, "Here I am. Catch me. I am open. I am open to being caught. I'm open to being lifted up." But see, I've got to go beyond just thinking that's a thought. I got to be really in the conscious knowing I am choosing to be. I don't know what's going to show up now that I'm making that choice, because there might be some more challenges I might have to meet. Am I willing to do that? Am I willing to be there? Am I willing to be open to that truth?
Hey, Jerry?
Yes, Jim.
So as you're saying this, man, it takes me back to what you've always said with respect to thoughts that come into my consciousness. And you said this, and I use this as just as a gauge. Does this that's happening, does it open my heart or does it close my heart? And I love that, Jerry, because it's I'm constantly perpetually taking inventory of the thoughts, man, that are like, and they're coming quickly all the time, just all the time. So to be able to pause, like what you've always indicated is that, does this open or does it close? And just kind of let that be my gauge, man.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for reminding me of that. Jim is reminding me of something that I've shared a number of times, and I cannot take credit for this particular teaching, but it's become part of my being. Is when a thought in, when I become conscious of a thought in my mind that I can choose to hold on to or not. To ask myself a very simple question, a vibratory question, actually. Does this particular thought that I'm holding, that I'm choosing to hold on to, or this action that I'm presuming to do, does it open my heart or does it close my heart? Is a very simple way of being able to find out for myself, is this higher vibration or lower vibration? Does it open my heart or does it close my heart? I still have a choice. But when I get a sense of that vibrational, I think I did in a little exercise like that last week. Well, let me just go back and do that again. Let me close your eyes for a minute. And allow yourself to think of someone who's quite annoying to you. Maybe somebody you can't stand. Could be a political figure. Could be a friend or relative. Could be anybody. And simply notice what thinking in that negative terminology goes, what that does to how to the vibrational level that you are experiencing, how it almost literally lowers your energy level, feels oppressive, feels weighty, feels heavy. Take a deep breath and let that go. And then take a moment to think of someone you love and who loves you back. And notice the energy there, notice the vibration, how it is so much lighter, so much more open, so much more honest, so less fearful. That's what we are doing when we ask that question. Does it open my heart or does it close my heart? Let me do one more paragraph and then we'll do our meditation because I've got to leave a little bit early this morning. The manner we teach you and will continue to teach you is thus. When you sing your song, you call to you what you need. And to request the higher self or the divine self to lift you in any situation, say yes to the possibility that you may be lifted, even if you don't understand it. The possibility that you will be lifted. But so often in your reactive natures, you throw your tantrum first. And in doing that, you align to low consciousness. And you tend to stay there until you wear yourself out. Or it occurs to you that it is doing no good at all. I mean, how many times have we found ourselves in a bad mood and finally decide, I could have had a V8. I could do this differently. I could have thoughts, I could have been holding on to some different thoughts. I didn't even know I had a choice. Okay, we're going to take a few minutes to do a meditation to close this up this morning. So I'm going to ask you to put your book down, close your eyes if you like. A couple of breaths, deep breaths, kind of let go of some of that body armor. That protectiveness that we might be holding on to. And just let yourself know that you are free. You're okay, you are loved. And ask yourself this question: what thought that I can positively hold on to in this moment? What thought would be the most powerful in my life in this moment to raise my vibration to the highest level possible? And let that come to you. And when we say hold that thought, we don't mean grasp it like you would holding on for dear life, but holding it in your open hands. And imagine what it would be like to carry that energy with you as you enter into the rest of the day. I'm going to end with this metaphysical prayer. I am whole. And you can repeat this to yourself internally if you like. I am whole. I am filled with light. I am perfect. I am filled with light. I am surrounded by the pure white light of Christ. Nothing but good shall come to me. Nothing but good shall go from me. I give thanks. I give thanks. I give thanks. Couple of more deep breaths, stretch a bit. You can open your eyes when you're ready. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
Have a
Thank
wonderful
you, Jerry.
Rest.